So guess what? We have actually reached phase two, which includes step five, which we'll cover in this chapter, through step eight, which we will cover in subsequent chapters. In chapter seven, we're going to be going over step five, which is generating traffic. The sections are build your online brand, the three sources of traffic, and how to build your list. I want to let you know that whatever I'm going to give you today is going to be more of a principle overview of how to do this, because the world of online marketing changes all the time. New social media comes in and people love it, and older social media tends to lose favor over time. What Google will respond to favorably and what they will punish changes over time. But there are some really core concepts that I want you to have, because no matter what changes, these core concepts will always be true. But I wanted to warn you in advance that understanding how online marketing actually works and what works in online marketing is going to change. And you just need to suck it up and keep learning. You will always be learning new things. And that's just what it means to be a business owner. You will always need to learn new things. You will always need to stay up with the times as things change. Fundamentally, it all starts with your niche, which is why doing steps one through four before you start working here is really critically important. So if you've kind of said, well, you know, I'm just going to work through this program and get to the place where she's covering the things that I care about, and you didn't choose a niche, research your niche, identify what their wants, needs, and desires are, you know, design your packaging, all of those early steps, go back and do it now, because everything you do from here on out is going to be completely dependent on steps one through four and will not work as well if you have not done those first four steps. Okay, so if you haven't, honestly, stop now, go back to chapters three through five and six and redo them. And really do them, okay? It all starts with your niche. Because in order to be successful with online marketing, you need to be relevant and of service to your niche. You need to be relevant. That's what the search engines look for. Are you relevant to what this person is searching for? Even the search engines on Facebook or Twitter or Instagram, it's the same thing. They are looking for relevant content. So in order for you to be relevant, you need to understand your niche, what they want, need, and desire, what they're searching for, what their problems are. This is very important in order to be successful. Okay? So in this first section, we're going to be talking about how to build your online brand. And again, as I'm going through this, I am talking about principles that will apply to everything and everywhere online, so that you can have a solid grounding in principles, because the details are going to change, and they're going to change way too quickly for me to be able to update and update and update in order to keep this content relevant. So I'm focusing on the principles. What you need to have in place is your website, which we're going to talk about in this section, your social media profiles, which we'll talk about in the next section, and a system and strategy for driving traffic with consistency, which we'll talk about in section C. So let's get right into it. Your website. Do you have one? Now, when I say your website, I am not talking about your Facebook page, your Reverb Nation profile, your LinkedIn. I'm not talking about any of that stuff. I'm talking about your website. Here are the things that you need to be thinking about with regards to your website. And again, design taste will change, but these fundamental concepts will not. So you need to think about the design of your website, how to attract traffic. So we're talking about search engine optimization and search engine marketing, and that every page needs to have a clear call to action, which in the parlance of marketing is abbreviated CTA. So if you see that abbreviation in blogs that you're reading, you'll know what it means. It means call to action, meaning that your website needs to be very specific about what it wants your prospect to do. What action do you want them to take? And that call to action may be different depending on the page or the post. Okay, so you want to be thinking about that. So let's talk a bit about your website and its design. Your website should include, at the bare minimum, a blog, and I'll explain why a blog is critically important a bit later, a bio or a about page, which is your story. I'm not going to go into a lot of detail about this, but frankly, you need to be entertaining. When you talk about your bio, your about page, you need to be engaging. You need your story to capture what is really truly unique about you, about who you are, about what you stand for as an artist, about what's important to you, about what influenced you. All of these things are part of your story, and you want to include them. The bio about page can also include your EPK, which stands for Electronic Press Kit. Now, an EPK is only really necessary for those of you who are performing artists who are looking to gig and tour. An EPK is quite a bit less important for composers and for those who are strictly composing, for example, for film and television and games. You're not really going to need a press kit. You will need an exciting and captivating bio because people want to know who they're doing business with. It needs to include a way to contact you, and your contact should be part of the main navigation and the footer. Either a link to the contact page or actually having your contact information in the footer, okay? You want to make it stupid easy for your customers, clients, and fans to reach you. I also recommend something around a pink spoon on every page. Now, we'll be talking about your pink spoon when we talk about building your list, what it could be, what it should be, what you want it to be. You want an invitation either in the right sidebar or the footer because you want it to be easy and obvious for how to sign up to get their free thing so that you capture everyone who lands on your page. Now, if you have product or events for retail sale, in other words, you are selling albums or downloads or your gigs, you're selling tickets, you're on tour, anything like that. You also want to think about having a store, an online store, so people can go ahead and buy your stuff, as well as a calendar of events if you're gigging out, so people can find out when you're in their neighborhood. I want to talk a little bit about your basic design. Here's the thing about design. Ugly web pages can sell. If your clients, customers, and fans can easily, effortlessly find what they're looking for. All right, so having the coolest, the latest, the sweetest, the hottest, the prettiest, the sharpest, the meanest website is less important than if people can find what they're looking for and if they can read it and understand it and will take action in response to it. A good web designer understands this and will help you create strong navigation and calls to action to guide your client, customer, and fan through your website process. You need to understand who you're talking to. You need to understand what their frame of reference is with regard to the internet and with regard to how savvy they are, how up to date, whether they're early adopters or late adopters. We talked about this when you were in the chapter when we talked about researching your niche. Understanding who you're talking to and what they want is going to help you be more effective in designing your website. Who is your niche? What's important to them? What language do they use? What colors are attractive to them? What do they respond to? And of course, you want a single, clear call to action. Here's the thing about the call to action. Less is more. Meaning, if you've got a homepage that is telling people to do 15 different things, they probably won't do anything and they'll bounce off your site. Simple, clear, one action is going to be much more effective than trying to include everything you want all people to do. Trying to appeal to everyone will have you effectively appealing to no one. Okay? So less is more. And you want to very specifically and clearly guide them to do one thing on each page, each post. What's the one thing you want them to do? Tell them. People tend to do what you tell them to do. Okay? So the more clear your ask is in your call to action, the more effective it's going to be. When it comes to websites, usability is critically important. It's way more important than how it looks, how pretty it is, how bright and shiny it is. It's much more important that people can find what they're looking for. And by people, I include Google. So you can use Google Analytics to evaluate your website. How long are people staying on it? When they navigate off of a page, are they going to another page within your website or are they leaving? If they're leaving, are they going to, for example, your iTunes page or your YouTube page or your social media page? Meaning, if they're leaving, are they staying within your circle of influence? And Google Analytics will help you figure that out, find that out. It may not tell you why they're doing what they're doing, but again, a good web designer will be able to help you with this. You can also use things like usability testing tools such as Clicktail, which will evaluate what customers are doing once they land on your page. Where are their eyes going? What are they scrolling down to? Where are they? What are they clicking? What are they ignoring? There are resources for this. And finally, I want to introduce you to a fundamental theory, which is the F pattern. Now, years and years and years of study of people's eye patterns when they land on websites have developed this F pattern that generally when people land on a website, their eyes first go across the top, then they scroll down. And then they'll look at kind of the next subheading. Very often people will scan through thick text and stop on bullet points. If they like the bullet points, they might go back up to read the text. But more often than not, people don't read paragraphs and paragraphs of text. They generally will look and skim through the titles, the subtitles, the bullet points, and get to the call to action and take action. So keeping that in mind when designing the layout and the flow of your website and your content. So that's your website. But your website, if it doesn't attract traffic, is not working for you. So you do want to design a website that draws traffic to it. Now, I'm not talking about social media. I'm talking about having a website that uses things like Google effectively to bring traffic to it. And by that, I'm talking about keywords. Keywords are critical. What is a keyword? Well, a keyword is very simply, what are the words that your prospective customers, clients, and fans are typing into the search bar on Google or Yahoo or Bing or whatever their search engine is to find you. Now, unless they already know you, it ain't your name. And that's a big mistake. People think, oh, it's my name that's going to draw people in. Well, it will, but it will only draw people in who already know you. You want perfect strangers to be able to find you. Perfect strangers who are in your niche. Because here's the thing about keywords. The more specific they are, the more effective they are. The more specific they are, the less competition you have, and the easier it will be for you to land on page one for a particular keyword. And here's the thing you have to know about your clients, customers, and fans. They will rarely go to page two. So being able to land on page one, critically important. And that means you need to understand your niche. What are they searching for? How do they speak? About what language do they use? About what they're searching for? Those are your keywords. Keywords can make or break your search engine ranking. And I will talk about this quite a bit more later. But in essence, your keywords need to be relevant to your clients, customers, and fans. And your content needs to be relevant to your keywords. Because if you just sprinkle words into a blog post that aren't relevant, Google's smarter than that. And not only will you not show up for those keywords, but they can blacklist you for doing that. So keywords can make or break your search engine ranking. And they must, this is what I mean, they must be contextually relevant. They have to be relevant to the content and the context of the content in the page or post that we're talking about. So that means every page or post you create needs to be specific for a particular keyword. Well, that's good news and that's bad news. That means you can't attract all keywords, right? It's just too much. But it also means that when you write a blog post or you write a page, a sales page or an announcement page or anything like that, you have to be very conscious and strategic in your language, in your headers, and in your, meaning your titles, and how in the main title, in the URL of the page or the post. You want it all to be using keywords that you're customers, clients, and fans are searching for, and you want those keywords to be relevant to the content of that page. And again, it needs to be unique to each page and post. But what makes this really good news is that while your main pages, your bio page, your home landing page, your calendar of events, all of that stuff, you're going to be a little bit more generic about who you are, but you can really hone in on keywords for your target niche in your blog posts. That's why it's important to blog. That's one of the reasons it's important to blog. It enables you to be much more strategic and tactical in targeting particular niche and what they're searching for. So let's talk a little bit more about why content is so important. First of all, Google loves new content. The older your content, the further down in the search algorithm you're going to show up, which means you want to be editing your website on a really regular basis. But that doesn't mean you have to change your pages. It just means you need to put up new blogs. Every time you put up a new blog, Google says, ooh, new stuff. Great. What's this about? And it looks at the content and at the keywords and it looks at the URL and the headers and says, what is this about? Great. Let me add this to my list of things that when people are searching for X, you're going to come up. So every time you write a new blog post, you're new and you will get more attention from Google. Each new comment on each blog is also new content. So when you create a blog, you want to invite comments. You want to encourage comments. And the best way to do that is to ask people questions. So towards the end of your blog post, begin to ask questions. And at the end, specifically give them a call to action. If you have questions, please comment below. Or what did you think about this statement? How does that pertain to your X, your business or your life or your problems with X? Ask clear, specific questions and make the request that people comment. And don't be afraid as an artist to make a bold, outrageous statement about who you are and what you stand for, right? Because you want to attract your niche market. And your niche is going to relate and connect to the things that you stand for. That's part of how you choose the niche. They need to be people who agree with the things that you stand for. So don't be afraid to make a bold, outrageous statement. And don't be afraid to invite controversy. Yes, you might turn some people off, but you will make passionate fans by inviting controversy and being willing to challenge them. And then if they push back, it is a wonderful opportunity for you to engage and for you to discuss things. And you want to discuss things in a way that is open, that is welcoming, that doesn't back down from your bold, outrageous statement, but isn't mean and isn't insulting. You can always, if someone is being hateful, you can make a decision about, do I take on that person or do I block that comment? Because you could always block comments, right? You can always choose not to engage with that person and remove that comment from your blog post. And you'd be surprised how powerful it can be to choose to engage with the person commenting as a person, as a human being who has feelings, who is, you know, willing to take people on and engage with them. Okay?